Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to our time together today. Let me remind you, you can call us at 401-1413. 401-1413 gets you right through to the studio, to the microphone, that we can have dialogue and discussion together. Looking forward to this time together today. We're going to be talking about in a moment the decay of American culture, the decay of our American culture. But before we get into the monologue today and our further discussion on that subject, let me remind you that as we look at issues, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus told his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed." That word, by the way, indeed means truly, surely, you're really a disciple, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 17:17, Jesus says to his disciples, "Thy word is truth." So it's the word of God that we go to for truth and the response to any of the issues as we face them. And let me simply say this. Next week during our broadcast, each day, we'll be dealing with doctrinal, biblical, theological issues. Doctrinal, biblical, theological issues. Is hell real? What is heaven like? Can a person die and come back from heaven or hell? And a variety of other theological, doctrinal issue questions. So if you have questions about the Bible, questions about some theological issues, questions about some doctrinal positions, what about baptism? What is the biblical mode for baptism? How is a person saved? How does he know that he is truly saved? When a person dies, will he go to purgatory or will he go to hell if he's lost? And I could go on and on and on with hundreds and hundreds of potential questions that you might have. But I'm asking you simply to email me at info@conservative.edu, info@conservative.edu, and give me your question. Your theological, doctrinal, biblical question, maybe a denominational question. You do not have to use your name. You can just say John, Charlie, Sally, Susie, whatever it may be, and that's the way I'll refer to it. Nobody will know it's anonymous, and be delighted to use your question that we might answer them by way of one of our radio broadcasts during the course of next week's Let's Face the Issues broadcast each day. As we face the issues, we'll be doing so, even with your questions and your theological, doctrinal, biblical issues, we'll do so based on the authority of Scripture. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're facing a continual battle today, and we see it not only in Washington, but we see it across our nation in the realm of not just the morals and ethics and values that we find in the Surah in Washington, but we're also finding those same issues and the same difficulties in the realm of society in general. We're watching a moral, ethical, spiritual, societal decay in America. What's happening? What's causing it? What is our Christian nation doing in relationship to this? Why are we rapidly declining? Why are we declining spiritually and morally? And we're declining, no question about that. You can watch that in the realm of what you see on television and what you listen to by way of some broadcast. We know that we're declining morally, ethically, and spiritually, societally, doctrinally, and theologically just by listening to the number of voices that talk about theological things. There are those that will talk about some of these things that you and I both know are antithetical to what the Scripture says. But we're watching the rapid decline. We're watching what is taking place with Washington. We see the FBI and the DOJ, simply others in high-profile areas and high-position leaders in our nation today that feel that they can just somehow, some way overthrow our constitutionally elected president. And now that's some of the high-profile things that we're seeing, but it's part of the general fundamental foundational problem that we find in society today. As we watch these things taking place, we need to ask the question, what's causing so many today, also in this realm, seeking socialism in our society? I could go on and on and on with the number of questions and point back to you the rudimentary fundamental things that we're seeing that are indicators of a decaying, declining, falling society. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look at Rome, Rome's empire lasted about 200 years. Our nation today is about 242 years. We've outlasted the oldest empire, that is Rome. Rome did not have someone to come in and destroy it from the outside. It declined, crumbled, and imploded from within. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we see this taking place, we're watching the decline and the decay of American culture today. Why are we seeing entire denominations challenging the authority of the Bible? Why do we see some entire denominations today rejecting the reality of hell? Why do we see entire denominations today denying that sin, sodomy, is truly sin? Why is it that we're simply watching the disobeying of the moral laws of Scripture? Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's one fundamental problem that's causing that, and that is that we're in the last days. And the Bible says, know this also, that in the last times, or the last days, perilous, that is dangerous, difficult, dark, destructive times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And the Scripture says, from such, turn away. Ladies and gentlemen, we are seeing this take place today. We're watching the Bible being challenged and demeaned. We're witnessing anarchy in our nation today. We're watching the fragmentation and the fall of the family. We're watching full acceptance today, ladies and gentlemen, of drugs and gambling and homosexuality and drinking and abortion. In fact, one of the things that's causing the loose, lax, lost liberals on the left, those that call themselves Democrats that are truly anarchist, socialist, Marxist today, we're watching them absolutely go into conniption fits, as I call it, because President Trump is about to announce a nominee for the replacement of Judge Kennedy that is retiring from the Supreme Court. Why is this so? Why are they having so many contortions today about that? He's not even named a nominee yet, and yet they're all upset. They're saying that the new nominee, whoever he may be, will overturn Roe versus Wade. Well, there's no litmus test being asked. There's no litmus test being given, but yet they assume that based on the fact that President Trump is seeking a nominee that will be a constitutionalist, that will look at what the Constitution says. The Constitution is not an evolving document. The Bible is not an evolving document. The Constitution is not a devolving document. The Bible is not a devolving document. Both documents are signed, sealed, and settled for eternity without any revocation, any remedies for change that's needed or necessary. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe the answer to the postulated questions and the issue that I've set forth in the monologue, I believe the real answer to this profound question is simply this. We have forgotten God. We have turned our backs on God. We've forgotten our fundamental foundational heritage as found in the Word of God and our founding documents for our nation. Our nation is a nation that was founded upon the Word of God, founded based on men of God and their philosophies and positions and what we needed as a nation today. We've forgotten God. In fact, Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." God says, "I'm going to be exalted whether you accept it or not. I'm going to be high and lifted up whether you recognize me or not. I'm going to be sovereignly in charge whether you recognize me and submit to me or not." That's who God is. We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the heritage that's found in the Word of God that identifies the nation of America today. Here is one of the problems, and it goes back to the fundamentals of what you've heard me say many, many, many times now. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking about the decay in American society, the decay in American society. And in the decay of society, here's something that was said by renowned pulpiteer of yesteryear. Reverend Charles Finney said this: "If there's a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of government are ready to fall, the pulpit is responsible for it." Charles Finney said that in the early 19th century. He was a British preacher, and he is exactly right, was then and is today. Why is that so necessary? We have forgotten God. We have turned away from the Bible, and the problem begins in the pulpits. We have multitudes today, and ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, we'd love to have you call and have dialogue and discussion. Love to have your questions. You can dial 401-1413 and join in the dialogue and discussion on this. We're talking about the decay of American society, the decay in our culture today, and we're finding that decay truly permeating all essence and all parts of society. And it goes back to the fact that for too many years now, we have failed to simply preach and teach the Word of God. We have a lot of comedians in the pulpits today that make the congregation laugh. We have a multitude of phony theology being taught in the pulpits today. The cotton candy theology that makes you feel good. The goosebump theology that makes you feel good. The kitchen theology that's homespun and no foundation and fundamental findings in the Word of God. And therein lies the problem. Because we're fearful, ladies and gentlemen, I believe, to take a stand on the truth. We're fearful to stand on thus saith the Word of God. In fact, it was Leonard Ravenhill of yesteryear that said this: "Great eagles fly alone. Great lions hunt alone. Great souls walk alone, alone with God. Such loneliness is hard to endure and impossible to enjoy unless God accompanies. Prophets are lone men. They walk alone, pray alone. God makes them alone." Verse 6 statement from Leonard Ravenhill. He died in 1994. Had some tremendous golden nuggets that he spoke during his lifetime in preaching. No longer are we doing that today in our pulpits. Most pulpits and most preachers today want to win friends and influence people. Most want to have those that will give him the accolades and praise him for being a people person and a personable person, and there's no consideration given to the authority of the Scripture. Multitudes can stand today, and if they read a verse of Scripture, many do not. If they happen to read a verse of Scripture, then they go off in 14 different directions, and many Christians are anemic enough, illiterate enough, unlearned enough, immature enough, that they do not recognize that that person that's supposed to be the man of God is not preaching the Word of God in context. Historically, we find that as a problem. This is the fundamental rudimentary problem that we find that's causing, yes, the DOJ. It causes the FBI leadership in the hierarchical positions. It causes politicians today, educators today, preachers, and everyone in the leadership role in society today to have a fundamental flawed view of what this nation is about and what Christianity is about. As believers, we are called to be salt and light in this society today, ladies and gentlemen. We're in a decaying, darkened world. And it's the Lord Jesus that said, if the salt hath lost its savor, it is worthless. It is good for only to be cast out and trodden underfoot. Now, you've heard me say before, and let me interject this at this point. The thing that every child of God, every Christian, ought to be striving for is one day in glory to hear the Lord Jesus Christ say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It is pleasing God. That's your responsibility as a Christian. That's my responsibility as a Christian. It is pleasing Him. We ought not to think that somehow, some way, we've got to appease man or to please man, but simply to please God. This is the reason Peter said in Acts chapter 5, when they chided him and thrown him in prison, beaten him, released him, and told him he couldn't preach anymore on the street corner, he said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Our nation today is indeed a Christian nation, yet we're seeing a great falling away today. Why is that so? Because the scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says very clearly the reason. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from their faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding that today. The great falling away, the apostasy, and I'm not gleeful over that. It saddens me. But it's a good indication of the authority and the infallibility and the inspiration of Scripture. God said it, that settles it. You go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and you find verse 7 and following. And in fact, you find verse 1 and following in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That there's coming day of the great falling away, the apostasy. And the apostasy, the falling away in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, must take place before the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church, and then the coming of the Antichrist on the scene. To rule and reign in this old world with an iron fist. Ladies and gentlemen, we see the falling away, the apostasy, the lack of commitment to God's word, the lack of commitment to God's work. I don't care what denomination you are, if it's an evangelical Christian denomination. I'm not talking about some of these aberrant denominations today, even though they've been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, and yet they have fallen away from the truth of the word of God. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about if you're a Christian today and you're in a Christian church, you can be assured that those attending on Sunday today are less than a year ago, less than 10 years ago, less than 20 years ago, because we're watching that apostasy take place. How do we know that the apostasy is happening, the falling away? Why is it so? Goes back to what was said by Charles Finney about the decay of conscience and what is taking place in society then and today. And one of the main things is that you find denominations today, entire denominations embracing sodomite marriages. You find entire denominations today discarding anything that's called moral norms. You find entire denominations today accepting Islam as being a sister religion to Christianity. Saddleback Community Church in California, Rick Warren is the pastor. Thousands upon thousands, I believe 20,000 or 30,000 members in his church, allows Islamic imams to come in and do the call to Allah from the pulpit. He teaches in the Islamic mosque and encourages them to be faithful because they're serving Muhammad and Allah. He says that's the same as serving Jesus. They're sister religions, he says. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing any farther from the truth of the Word of God. We find those allowing drugs and drinking, abortion, being considered as normal in society today. It's the reason the Pope recently said that the Bible needs to be rewritten because the Bible needs to be in sync with modern culture. Cultures may change and cultures will devolve. Cultures will decay. Cultures will go into the moral abyss, but the Word of God should not be changed. It is the only thing we have that can show us the right pathway and where we're going and how we should get there. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding today those that are refusing to confront sin, those that are refusing to call sin, sin, as believers, even as general Christians, the man and woman in the pew, same as in the pulpit, there's a refusal to confront sin, disbelieving the reality of hell. Some disbelieve the reality of the devil. Some are allegorizing scripture rather than it being viewed in the truthful, literal interpretation of scripture. Some look at the Bible as being a book of fables. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, they're wrong. The scripture says in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished, and all good works. Ladies and gentlemen, it's only through reading and studying and believing the Word that we can have moral, ethical, fundamental, foundational correctness according to Scripture. It is the Scripture that gives us inspiration and direction for our lives. It is the hearing of the Word that brings faith unto salvation. Without the Word, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by, dia, through the Word of God. It is through the preaching and the teaching of the Scripture in context that God uses to bring conviction by the Holy Spirit in the heart of a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, that they might say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the decay in the American culture. You can call us today, 401-1413. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues broadcast. This is Dr. Youngblood. We encourage you to call 401-1413. Join in the dialogue and the discussion today on the decay in the American culture. And it's not just the American culture, it's globally, but we are in America, so I'm dealing with our culture and where we are. And as I've said just a moment ago, the fundamental problem is we've forgotten God. The fundamental problem is we have lost our way and have rejected the Word of God. And as a result of that, we're watching us stumble around in what is the plummeting abyss for the ultimate destruction of our nation, lest we're very, very careful. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the falling away in the last days. But yet all Scripture is given by God. It's inspired. It is the spiration, the breathed out breath of God, placed on paper that we call the Word of God today, the Bible. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very, very careful of what is taking place in some of our denominations. Here's an example of that. Here's an article that says, irrevocably redefining marriage. The Episcopal Church deletes the words husband and wife from the marriage vows. Here's the body of the article that says, the Episcopal Church in the United States has decided to scrap the terms husband and wife from its marital liturgy in its latest move to find favor with the LGBTQ community. They're finding phrases like procreation will be deleted as may offend those who do not identify with heterosexuality. According to LifeSite News, the change aims to make the church's marriage ceremonies more gay-friendly. Indeed, gay and lesbian Episcopalians have been increasingly vocal in their complaints that the language of the current liturgy is both offensive and exclusionary. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand Christianity is exclusionary. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The Word of God is exclusionary. You either believe the Word of God or you're off base with what God said is needful for an individual to know Christ. You can say, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, and I'm in a Christian nation until Jesus comes, if you reject the authority of the Scripture. You see, God created Adam and Eve. He didn't create Adam and Steve. He didn't create gay people, as the Pope says, and as a result of that, gayness is not sin, the Pope said. I challenge him based on the authority of the Scripture. Yet we're finding today more and more of the mainline denominations simply wanting to appease and to please the Sodomite community. We're watching the decay of the American culture. And as Charles Finney said, ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to the pulpit. If you have preachers that are preaching that homosexuality is all right, if you have pastors and preachers that are saying the Bible has errors, if you have pastors and preachers in the pulpits that's saying that gay marriage is okay, and you have preachers in the pulpit today that are saying that we can call sin something other than sin, if you have those in the pulpits today saying that you don't have to believe God to go to heaven, as the Pope recently said, there's a major problem. Well, it's not only the Episcopal Church, ladies and gentlemen, that looking at marriage and taking the marriage vows and changing it. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, holy matrimony originated by God. Holy gives you a little indication, doesn't it? Holy matrimony. Marriage originated from God, not from government, not from man. Man does not have the authority to change the marriage vows. Man does not have the authority to change the fact that marriage is between one man and one woman, one lifetime, one commitment. You can't have two or three men get married and call it holy matrimony, or women get married to women and call it holy matrimony. It is unholy. It is ungodly. It is sin. And God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ladies and gentlemen, here's another article about the Episcopal Church, different subject, but the same denomination. The Episcopal Church begins process of reducing God to gender-neutral status in their Book of Common Prayer. The article goes on to say, they are hyper-focused on things like climate change, performing same-sex marriage, and creating ceremonies to celebrate when a transgender adopts a new name. But Bible doctrine? No. They wouldn't know Bible doctrine if they fell over it, this particular writer says. Now they have a new mission, to remove all references to God as male and all instances as masculinity in its pronouns in their Book of Common Prayer. And ladies and gentlemen, it is because we find in the Scripture, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. Ladies and gentlemen, the Episcopal Church is debating about overhauling its Book of Common Prayer, which is used in the Episcopal congregations worldwide. And the debate is centered on neutering God, removing any reference to God as the masculine, removing any reference to God as being God the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a major, major problem, and this is what we're saying today in this broadcast. We're watching the decay in the American culture, and that is because, ladies and gentlemen, we have forgotten God, and we've watered down the message from the pulpits. Well, I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Pastor. Would like to make two quick points as you wrap up your program today. Everything that you said points to two things. One, the imperative of understanding the fatherhood of God. If we focus on the fatherhood of God, then we get proper emphasis on male responsibility in this culture to be like him and lead it. We're not.
Amen.
And the second process, we're talking about the cultural failure. We are supposed to do what Jesus said. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, John 14:15. If we love him, we create the culture of Christ, and we don't cling to our own culture as white folks and black folks tend to do. We have rather unique cultures, and we cling to them and put them first and try to make God fit that. We must understand God is our Father. We owe him our allegiance. He can only be our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must do what he tells us through the Lord. and create that culture of Christ that we had for a brief period of time in this country. Thank you for your broadcast.
Absolutely. Let me comment on something, too, if you would, just for a moment.
Yes, sir.
The scripture, we find that, in fact, we have a lot of feminists today that are crying out because of their feminism, and they're wanting to neuter God. But when you go back to the scripture, woman came out of man and therefore was called woman because she came out from man. Were it not for man, there would be no woman today, if I can make
Absolutely.
That emphasis on woman.
And yet there's a fight against God. Yes, sir. What are the last two verses of the New Testament? I'll close with that. You know it. They shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, hearts of children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse.
Amen.
The fatherhood of God, very important. Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Absolutely. Thank you for your comments, and God bless you for that. Legend, there are a few folks that are waking up today. In fact, I'm fascinated by an article here. It says, homeschooling skyrockets as more parents get fed up with the left-wing social engineering and the violence in public schools. Ladies and gentlemen, that's as a result of realizing that the governmentally controlled schools are debasing, debauching, and destroying the minds and the hearts of our kids today. And I'm thankful to see some parents wake up, pull them out, put them in homeschooling that they might be taught the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining in today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air, even tomorrow, as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.